Today's scripture is Ezekiel 37, 1 through 14. The hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" I said, "Sovereign Lord, you alone know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord.' This is what the Sovereign Lord says to these bones: I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord." So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, "Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to it, 'This is what the Sovereign Lord says: Come, breath, from the four winds, and breathe into these slain, that they may live.' So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. Then he said to me, 'Son of man, these bones are the people of Israel. They say our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, this is what the Sovereign Lord says: My people, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord, when I open your graves and bring you up from them. I will put my spirit in you, and you will live, and I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken, and I have done it, declares the Lord." Bless this reading of the scripture.
The devil was holding a garage sale. In it, he had all sorts of all his tools on display. Things like lying, deceit, lust, greed. But over in the corner, there was one tool all by itself that looked like it was well worn. It was the tool labeled discouragement. When the devil was asked about this, he responded and said, "Hey, look, that's my best tool. That's my most expensive tool. For when all else fails, I can unleash discernment on a person and they will lose hope. And if they lose hope, they soon lose faith. And when they lose faith, they stop loving the Lord." Please let us pray together. In the words of the psalmist, "Please let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be a voice unto you that is well taken, my rock, my redeemer, and my savior." In today's scripture, God sends a message of hope to the Israelites by way of an inspired prophetic vision to the prophet Ezekiel. In the vision, God used the imagery of a vast valley of dry bones to symbolize the circumstances of the Jewish people during one of the most hopeless times in their lives. This vision takes place during the period in Israel's history known as the Babylonian exile. As we recorded in 2 Kings 24, the Babylonian exile begins around 605 BC when Jehoiakim, king of Israel, rebels against the Babylonian rule. In retaliation, Nebuchadnezzar invades Israel and successfully lays siege to the city of Jerusalem. In the surrender of the city, results in the first deportation of the Israelites to Babylonia. Included in that deportation was Daniel. In 597 BC, Jehoiachin, the son of Jehoiakim, and now king of Israel, rebels again against Babylonia. Again, the Babylonian armies, led by Nebuchadnezzar, successfully lay siege to Jerusalem and forced the king to capitulate. As part of the capitulation, Nebuchadnezzar took Jehoiakim captive to Babylonia. He also took from Jerusalem to Babylon the king's mother, his wives, his officials, and the prominent people of the land. The king of Babylon also deported to Babylon a force of 7,000 fighting men, strong and fit for war, and 1,000 skilled workers and artisans. This then is the second deportation of Israelites to Babylonia, and this time the deportees included Ezekiel. 10 years later, in 586 BC, the people of Jerusalem rebelled again, and again the Babylonian army successfully laid siege to the city. This time, though, they destroyed the temple. They destroyed the city walls, and a third wave of deportees were sent to Babylonia. The Israelites are in the depths of discouragement. Can you imagine anything worse than being ripped from your homeland, being stripped of your possessions, even stripped of your family? The devil was ecstatic. All hope was gone, and he was going about collecting souls. The Israelites were defeated and beaten people. They felt destitute and alone. Their possessions had been taken from them. They had been taken from their homes, and their families had been separated. They felt a loss of community and national identity, for Jerusalem had been destroyed. They had taken from their home, they had been taken from their homeland and scattered throughout the Babylonian Empire. They felt abandoned by God, for the key symbol of Judean faith, the temple, had been utterly destroyed, and all the religious accoutrements had been taken back to Babylonia. They couldn't help but wonder if Jehovah was truly Lord of all. Was he truly all-powerful? And is he truthfully faithful to the Israelites? This is the setting of Ezekiel's prophetic vision. It begins by God taking Ezekiel and setting him down in the midst of a valley filled with bleached by the sun dry bones. There was no sign of life in them. The dry bones were scattered over the landscape and represented the people of Israel that had been scattered throughout Babylonia, the Babylonian Empire. The bones were idiomatic of the deepest part of one's core. In their bones, the Israelites felt the deepest depths of hopelessness and despair. God begins his message of hope to Ezekiel, standing in the midst of the dry bones, saying, "Prophesize to these bones and say to them, 'Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life.'" As Ezekiel begins to prophesize, the bones begin to come together. Tendons and flesh and skin begin to cover the bones, but the bodies were still not alive. Then the Lord told Ezekiel to prophesy to the breath, for it to enter the bodies. As Ezekiel did, the breath from all corners of the world entered the bodies, and a vast army of bodies arose and came to life. God then says in verse 11, "Son of man, these bones are the people of Israel." And in verse 12, God tells Ezekiel to tell his people, "I will bring you back to the land of Israel." And in 538 BC, after the fall of Babylonia to the Persians, the Persian king Cyrus the Great allows the exiled Jesus to finally return to Judea. This starts the 70 years construction of the Second Temple in Jerusalem and the rebirth of that city. To some, this seems like the end of the prophecy. The people of Israel have been returned to Jerusalem. However, this prophecy also extends to us today. When you are being overtaken by the devil's tool of discouragement, put your hope in the Lord and rely on Him, for He is ever faithful. If you do, the devil's tool of discouragement will be dulled and even broken. Paul wrote about this and about his trials. "We felt we had the sentence of death. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead. He has delivered us from a deadly peril, and He will deliver us again and again. On Him we have set our hope, and that will continue to deliver us." Therefore, my friends, no matter how hopeless we may feel, no matter how many have no matter how much we may have lost in possessions or loved ones, or how much our self-esteem has been damaged by others, or how alone we may feel, or how distant God may feel, we are encouraged to rely on God whenever we are facing a trial that threatens our hope. If we do, because God is faithful to His children, He will deliver us. But this isn't the end of this prophecy. And I sort of feel like the popiel pocket fisherman that says, "That's not all." I would also like to draw your attention to two parts of Ezekiel's prophecy. First, in the verse where God says, "I will make breath enter you and you will come to life." This is reminiscent of the verse in Genesis 2:7, where God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into him, his nostrils, the breath of life. The man then became a living being. Also, in the New Testament scripture, it reveals that Jesus had brought back Lazarus to life after he had been dead for 3 days. Ezekiel's prophecy and this New Testament lesson in Scripture reveal that whether it is temporal life here on earth or the eternal life in heaven, God is the sole source of life. Now listen again to the last lines of Ezekiel's prophecy. "My people, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel, back to the promised land. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from them. I will put my spirit in you and you will live, and I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken and have done it, declares the Lord." In this time, as we look forward to Easter, we see this prophecy truly predicts both the resurrection of Christ, where God breathed life back into Jesus' body and it rose again. It is also a prophecy of our own resurrection, where God will instill in us, He will breathe into us life, so that we may someday join Him in that land that He promises, that land after the resurrection, where we will enjoy a life with all the other saints that have passed before us and that will pass after us. Therefore, if we accept God's sovereignty over our lives, we can be confident in our salvation, filled with that hope that we will be resurrected and have that eternal life as He's promised, if we just put our faith in Jesus Christ. Because only God provides life. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your faithfulness that gives us hope when we are in despair. Thank you for your faithfulness that gives us confidence in our salvation and our hope in our resurrection to eternal life. You are truly the Lord of all. You are truly all-powerful. You are truly faithful to your adopted family. Amen.